lined up. Alors, peut-être en premier, on va juste introduire tout le monde. Alors, peut-être vous pouvez dire qui vous êtes.
Norm. Moi, je m'appelle Jade Payère. Aujourd'hui, je suis au Salon du livre anarchiste en tant que moi-même, pas en tant qu'un groupe. Puis on organisait une activité de bannière anarchiste, question d'unifier les groupes dans l'art.
Moi, c'est Tournesol Plante. Je participe également à la bannière. J'ai fait plusieurs dessins dessus, mais aussi j'expose une de mes toiles dans l'exposition anarchiste au deuxième étage.
Ah, OK. Et...
My name is Maurice. I'm here today promoting for Critical Mass, and I've been working with art and activism for a long time.
Et puis, on a aussi Norman Navrosky, qui est musicien et artiste. Mais il va revenir. Alors, on va parler plus tard. Alors, ça, c'est un panel tout à propos de l'anarchie et l'art, ou anarchie et la culture. Alors, je voulais juste poser la question en premier. Est-ce que vous pensez que l'anarchie, c'est un mouvement et une philosophie qui attrait les personnes à l'art?
D'après moi, oui. Parce que l'anarchisme, c'est un mouvement de libération, puis dans l'art, t'as tout le temps eu des mouvements de libération artistique qui ont voulu, genre, sortir des cadres, qui ont voulu sortir des frames que la société engendrait. Alors, pour moi, comme il y a plein de groupes artistiques dans l'histoire qui ont fait les mêmes luttes que les anarchistes, alors là, selon moi, oui.
Et puis, comment est-ce que vous essayez à reproduire les idées anarchistes dans l'art que tu fais maintenant?
Comment
est-ce que vous essayez de reproduire les idées anarchistes dans l'art que vous produisez?
Je crois pas que c'est une question de reproduire les idées. Je pense plutôt que t'es anarchiste au fond de toi, puis chacun a sa manière de s'exprimer. Il y en a qui c'est en écrivant des textes, il y en a qui c'est en jouant de la musique, il y en a qui c'est en faisant des émissions de radio. Nous, c'est plus de manière artistique, art visuel. Puis je crois que c'est seulement exprimer qui on est, qu'est-ce qu'on fait, puis l'anarchie vient de soi après.
Mais on peut toujours, tu sais, comme traiter de sujets, genre que l'anarchisme traite toujours les prisonniers politiques ou quoi que ce soit, avoir des thématiques anti-mondialisation, avoir comme des thématiques, des sujets qui frappent plus que des paysages puis des natures mortes qui s'y restent stagnantes.
Alors, qu'est-ce qui se passe aujourd'hui? Il y a une bannière que les gens dans le Salon du Livre sont en train de travailler sur ça. C'est quoi cette bannière?
C'est comme un projet pour unifier tous les groupes, pour qu'on arrête de se créer des barrières théoriques ou quoi que ce soit, puis qu'on travaille ensemble pour faire un projet artistique, où est-ce que même ceux qui sont pas artistes, ben ils peuvent y collaborer de toute autre façon, en écrivant un poème, en écrivant quelque chose, ou en rajoutant quelque chose.
C'est un peu aussi l'idée que le Salon du livre anarchiste, veut pas, c'est des livres, c'est des textes, c'est des journaux. Il y a des gens qui sont plus intellectuels, mais il y a des gens comme moi qui ont de la misère plus à tout le temps réfléchir, lire, qui ont besoin de plus s'exprimer, s'éclater d'une autre manière. Puis je pense que c'est un peu aussi par rapport à ça qu'il y avait une activité artistique, question de déconnecter un peu aussi de seulement les livres, les textes.
Puis je suis curieux, qu'est-ce qui va se passer avec cette bannière quand c'est fini?
Bien, on veut la réutiliser dans d'autres salons du livre anarchiste. Alors pour nous autres, c'est pas notre dernier salon, tu sais, on va en faire d'autres. Il y a d'autres événements anarchistes qu'on pourrait amener les bannières puis les exposer, genre, ou les amener dans une manifestation ou quelque chose comme ça.
Puis il y a de plus en plus une coalition anarchiste qui se crée à Montréal, un contingent qui se veut que tous les groupes travaillent en commun puis qu'on essaie de se solidariser pour les luttes. Enfin, je crois que c'est intéressant avec ces idées-là qu'il y a présentement à Montréal d'avoir une bannière artistique pour prouver, être un peu à l'appui de nos luttes.
C'est comme une façon aussi de dire que si on n'est pas capable de tous ensemble se respecter sur une bannière, comment on va faire pour réussir à se respecter et puis lutter ensemble? Parce que si on a un point en commun, c'est qu'on veut le changement social. Mais si on a des disparités, on a des conflits internes qui nous empêchent de faire ça, ben, on ne sera pas capable d'arriver à notre but.
Bon, je te remercie beaucoup.
Merci à vous.
And now we have Maurice with us. Maurice, would you like to address the same question? Often I find that anarchism really attracts a lot of artistic people, and I want to know if you feel the same way, and if so, why do you think that happens?
I think that part of the question is why anarchists are attracted, or why artists are attracted to anarchism. I think that a lot of the philosophy behind anarchism, autonomy, freedom, basic things that allow us to express ourselves really facilitates artwork. And also the work that we do necessitates artwork. It requires us to have banners, to make ourselves known in ways that aren't necessarily about words or knowing the right language. Art is a language that people can understand very easily. You have an image of a child crying in front of an army and you understand right away very quickly. So I think it's important that we recognize the contributions that art can have to activism. It doesn't need to be strong speeches. It doesn't need to be that kind of thing. It can help facilitate interchange between people who might otherwise find anarchism to be scary or inaccessible. And I think that's one of the most important things about it.
Thank you, Maurice. That was a really great explanation of it. I think that we're really alluding to an idea of the intrinsic anarchic nature of art and possibly the intrinsic and artistic nature of anarchy. And I would like to go now to, we have two new panelists, Norman Navratsky and Bert. And Norman, I know you need to get back to your table, so would you like to speak to this issue?
I think it's interesting throughout history that anarchism as a movement has attracted a lot of artists all around the world, from poets, writers, to painters, to musicians, to dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, wherever there is an anarchist movement, you will find within that movement a large number of artists. And why are artists drawn towards anarchism? Because it's a philosophy, it's a way of looking at the world, it's a way of living that allows you to express who you are, that allows for creativity, that encourages people to be creative, that fights for everyone's freedom so that we all will have the time, the energy, the space in our lives to be creative. And as a result of that, well, a lot of artists have helped contribute to anarchist culture over the centuries. You will find anarchist plays, anarchist poetry books, anarchist novels. You will find artists who are inspired by the work of anarchists. You will find anarchists who supported artists who were being persecuted by the state because of their politics, and they expressed their politics through their art. So yeah, there is always been throughout history, the last couple hundred years at least, a very important relationship between anarchism, the movement, the philosophy, the way of thinking, and artists who are drawn to it because of what it stands for.
Also sitting with us, we have Bert from the band Jeunesse Apatride. So maybe you could just kind of explain what the idea behind La Jeunesse Apatride is.
Well, what I could say is that we formed a band mostly to sing what we had against this system and our anger, and to the good sides of life, friends and party times, and I don't know, but we mostly try to conscientize, people through our music, and I don't know, it's for us, it's our way to express ourselves, and
So Jeunesse Apatride is an interesting band because you guys are more kind of in the oi, punk oi vein of the punk scene. How do you find that anarchism relates to kind of the skinhead oi movement within punk?
Well, the thing is, for us, it's working class, so, and it's mostly I don't know how to explain it, but it's a working class revolt, and for us, it's not all of us either are all anarchists, so, but we're all libertarian. So I don't know, it's mostly that's how we see the skinhead movement. For us, it's not extreme right or anything, to us it's a multicultural movement, with strong values with the working class, and that's I don't know, a revolt, it's true, I don't know how to explain it, but with our job, you know, we get so much shit and everything. It's a way, like, to show our anger and, you know.
And how exactly is it, like, how is the music you're playing related? Because it has its roots kind of in a very working class milieu, doesn't it?
I don't know if the punk scene or punk music is really, like, rooted to the working class, but, and I don't know.
But maybe more specifically the skinhead movement.
Yeah, that's for sure, because it comes like from the working class, from the youth like of Britain. But like, I don't know, it's really like it had a lot of evolution. So I don't know, like to us today, like when it started, they didn't really have any politics. But you know, it like evolved to like Redskins. You know, some like Redskins don't even consider it themselves like skinheads, you know. They're more like Redskins, you know, and they, you know, like listen to hip-hop, reggae, and some listen to drum and bass, hardcore, or any kind of music, you know, so.
And what do you have planned next for Jeunesse Apatride? Someone was telling me that you guys are going to Europe pretty soon.
Yeah, well, we're leaving 1st of June, and we're going on tour for 2 weeks. Like, we're going, we got a few shows in France, Germany, and we got one night in Switzerland, and actually, like, in Paris. It's really, like, weird, but, like, I don't know, we're going to play with Conflict, which is, like, pretty cool. We're like, yeah, so, I don't know, it's really fun.
Cool. Well, yeah. Thanks a lot for being here on this panel today at the Anarchist Book Fair, and I'm going to pass it back off to Francesca.
Thank you very much, Bert. That was a really good and intriguing example of a very concrete way in which art feeds and is fed by anarchism or rather individual politics. And now I would like to go to our next panelist. Yes, I work with Jen at the Alternative Bookshop, mm-hmm. and I'm also aware that you're a potter.
Yeah.
And is it your trade? Could you talk a little bit about how often you do it, how much it means to you?
I do it 7 days a week.
All right.
I work in different places, teaching and working as a technician, and I also work for myself.
That's great. And my question is, how do you see that your politics, which I know is a huge part of your life, do you see them integrating or at all into your artwork?
No.
Why not?
I'm an artisan, so I make things that are useful for people to use, but and they can be pretty, but they're not political artwork. They're not. They don't have a message. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's teapots and and bowls and whatever. You know, so they're not really. They don't have a political message.
But do you? And I agree with that distinction. And I think that also I know you're talking about there is, however, a political aspect to the idea of being an artisan, because that's kind of something that's lost today. Could you talk about that?
Since the dawn of industrialization, mm-hmm. artisanship or craftsmanship in North America or in Europe, wherever, has been lost. To be an artisan in modern society is really to try and fight industrialization and mass production, mm-hmm. and factory work and importation and globalization and I guess the exploitation of workers, mm-hmm. that are sitting in plants and making doing the same thing that I'm doing here in North America, which I don't get paid mass money for, but that ends up being sold for a lot more than what the exact same thing artisans are doing in Mexico or South America or in Asia. Artisans doing the exact same thing, and their pieces are like, whereas a bowl that I make is worth $25, a bowl that they make is worth $1 or 50 cents or whatever.
So do you think that there is an important distinction to be made between art, creating art, and being an artisan? Do you think it's very important not to meld the two?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because artisanship is about creating goods that are meant to be used, whereas art is something that's visual and can be pretty. It's like art, craft is, it can be beautiful, but it's not, it doesn't have a message, and it doesn't, it's not, it's not the same as visual art where you put it on the wall and you look at it and you can't really use it. You're not going to take a painting from your wall and use it somehow in your kitchen, or do you know what I mean? Whereas craft is meant to be used.
Do you see one as more important than the other? Or do you just feel like your role is more on the artisan side?
Do I see one as more important? Yeah, well, I see art, I see craftsmanship is very important in society, and I see it as part of, I guess, DIY culture and also self-sufficiency. Whereas visual art is something which is equally as necessary, you know? It's equally as necessary. If we were living in houses with white walls and nothing on them, I feel like I would die without having artwork. There's artwork around us at all times, you know? They're equally as necessary. It's just the one is more useful than the other in a very practical sense.
Yes, I agree. Thank you very much, Jen. I'm really glad to have you here and talk to you about this side of the issue. And now we've had a new panelist sit down with us, Greg Prescott, who I would like to pose some of our questions to that we've been...
Hello.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
How you been here for a while?
Yes.
Looking around a lot?
Yep. That's trying to restrain myself from spending too much money.
It's hard. The consumerism hard. Is hard to deal with, even in such a wonderful place as this. But I was talking a little bit with Greg before about the idea of art and anarchism and how much they are one, how much they are separate. So, Greg, I'd like to ask you, I've found, like I was asking other people before, I think a lot of people agree that often artists are really attracted to the ideology and the soul and the lifestyle of anarchism. Do you see that there's a reason for that? Do you?
I don't know. In approaching the connection between art and anarchism, I see as a common denominator creativity in the most broadest sense. The anarchist agenda, you know, if you could even call that, is very much defined by creative provisional solutions based on the issue at hand, coming up with creative imaginative solutions that aren't centralized state, which basically is the extent of most political imagination today. And I see that's what I see the link with art, and I think art is a very powerful tool to express that creativity in reordering society, reordering our life.
Okay. I think that's a really astute realization that you can use both words. You can use artistic and you can use creative, and maybe they do mean different things, especially in this context. And we've just had sit down with us another panelist that I'd like to address a similar question to, Stefan Christoff. Hello.
Hello.
And then I'd like to move on to another question after this and ask both of you. But first, Stefan, I've been asking people kind of what they think about the idea of anarchism being inherently artistic, or vice versa, art being inherently anarchistic. And what do you think of this? Do you think it's true, or do you think that they're very separate things?
Well, I think that it's different to each context that, say, an artist is working in or thriving in. I mean, art, I think, generally is a reflection of the society in which people live, or the elements within a society that people thrive in. So art that, say, for instance, is coming from a community of political struggle, you know, somebody who's writing poetry or somebody who is writing songs or, making a sculpture or artistic, paintings, so on and so forth, that is coming from a community of struggle that is engaged in fighting and defending people's rights, inherently that work is going to be political. And I guess within the context of anarchist thought or thinking, art, when coming from a community organization or a group which is identifying as anarchist, there's going to be artistic representation of that type of movement. So I think that it really depends on which context art is coming from. But I mean, if you want to talk about it that way, essentially, I think that art can be revolution. Art is revolution. if it's coming from that type of context, if it's coming from a profoundly political context where people are living and breathing anti-authoritarian or anarchist ideas in their daily life, the art is going to reflect that, because art is a representation of, you know, an individual's coping with reality and the society around them. So if they're coming from that type of political context, of course art is going to represent, you know, anti-authoritarian or anarchist type of ideas. And I think also the sporadic nature of the creativity which drives artistic expression can be considered inherently artistic. I mean, if you want to talk about the movement in jazz, free jazz, a lot of people have talked about, you know, free jazz representing, you know, kind of a anarchist trend within musical expression because of the completely sporadic yet, you know, orchestrated and beautiful music that is written, sung, and played by, you know, people writing free jazz music. I mean, but, you know, through any political movement, whether anarchist or not, you do see, you know, a very heavy artistic representation, you know, and that has always been the case throughout history, and I think it will continue to be that way. And I think today's Anarchist Book Fair also represents that. You know, a lot of the books and zines and whatever people are selling at their tables and distributing, a lot of that is artistically based. And I think that that fact, even today at the Anarchist Book Fair, represents the inherent intertwining of anarchist and artistic ideas.
I'd like to add to that. I think that's a very good point. I think there's a lot of anarchistic sensibilities in a lot of art that goes on, whether or not the people are self-identified anarchists or not. Look at urban art, reappropriation of urban art spaces with graffiti and such. That type of direct action through art, I see a kinship with anarchist sensibilities in that.
Yeah, I really appreciate the idea that's coming through of a reflection of a culture or of a group of people in their art. Like always, it is about kind of bringing a really important piece of people out, and that's always what art is. So if these people are living a certain way, that's what's going to come out, and that's a good frame with which to look at art because it allows for an incredibly nuanced view of what exactly art is and how we should appreciate and respect art. But on a more definitive note, I would turn, because this also really ties in with what we're talking about, though extrapolates a bit from the anarchist question, is that what does it mean for art to be political? Can art be too political, and can it be not political enough? If art is a really nuanced idea and concept, can we make such distinctions, and can we say you aren't being political enough, or you are being too political?
I think one thing that characterizes art as political as it can be in the intent of the creator is that there is a gap in interpretation, and there's this anti-authoritativeness with art, where there is room for interpretation on the viewer's part. I mean, it's a difficult position to try to get political views across with art, but I think incredibly effective if done well.
Well, I mean, I think for me that art which can be appreciated is art which represents the reality that people are living. And I think that art is inherently political if it's truly reflecting people's realities. And, you know, the reality of life that, you know, majority of people live today, people in North American society, people throughout the world, is inherently political. Politics defines every element of our existence, whether it's the food we eat, whether it's the water we drink, whether it's the places in which we live. And if art is an expression of people's lives or thoughts or creative ideas, it is going to be inherently political if it's truly representing the realities in which people live. If we want to talk about the context of Quebec society, let's say, you know, with the current, you know, neoliberal economic policies of the Charest government, we're seeing an increasing crackdown on poor, working class, immigrant, refugee communities, non-status people. And that profoundly political reality, which in essence, in a lot of ways, is destroying people's lives, defines their existence. It's those economic policies which, you know, often anarchists, anti-authoritarians are fighting against, which define people's lives. And so within an artistic context, the majority of people in Quebec society are being affected by these neoliberal policies of the Charest government. So if artists are going to be honest to the realities that are defining their lives, it will address these types of politics, whether directly or not, because that art is manifesting itself out of the realities that people are living. And the realities people are living are profoundly political and intertwined with political struggle.
I very much agree, and I think that really the most beautiful art does come, beautiful in all of the broad sense of that cliched word, does come from when art comes from people in that way. However, I do think that one must say at a certain point that there is room for criticism of art beyond, like, you can't just say all art that comes from you and that is true. No, you can say this. You can say all that comes from you, comes from art is true if it's something that really truly reflects your experience in life. But my question is there a point where we want to criticize art from a political standpoint or from an artistic standpoint or from a standpoint on authenticity, even if it is a reflection of some really deep reality? Is there a place where we want to criticize things or, yeah?
Well, if you want to look at the basis of, like, some political or artistic movements in society, I mean, one of the hugest genres of music or artistic expression today is hip-hop, rap. I mean, what were the origins of hip-hop and rap? It was, representing the political struggles of black communities in the United States who are dealing with police brutality, who are dealing with poverty, who are dealing with neoliberal cutbacks to social services. Their kids weren't getting adequate education. People weren't able to feed their families. And out of that reality came a profound artistic movement which developed into hip-hop. If we want to look at the origins of hip-hop, groups like Public Enemy, who really defined what hip-hop is today in a lot of ways, they were dealing directly with those realities of black communities in the United States who are essentially and still are today living in ghettoized communities, communities that are oppressed by the state. And, you know, I think that it's important to note that, you know, one of the most profound musical movements today, culturally speaking, did come from that reality of having to live and breathe a political struggle every day because you had to fight for your lives. You know, and politics did define your life because it was either you fight for your rights, you fight to change governmental policy so you can feed your family, you fight against certain economic systems which are, unfairly funding, say, suburban schools and not inner city schools, and to address those realities. A lot of times, it was an artistic expression that came out of those communities, and hip hop is one of many, many examples that I think reflect that idea.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think we have to criticize the appropriation of artistic expression a lot of the time. I read recently that following the 68 workers and student uprisings in Paris, they put these posters all over the city, and within weeks they were in the living rooms of upper class Parisians. And there is a gap with art, and you can depoliticize art and you can extract it from the social context that it was born in, and it's often abstracted from that and appreciated from an artistic standpoint. And
I think those are really valid points, and what comes to mind to me after these is the legacy of the abstract expressionists, because initially they really were rebelling against a very definite hierarchy within art. Their political movement had everything to do with the individual and recognizing the importance of deviating from the norm, and it had some very important ideology behind that movement. But the legacy is that it was co-opted by corporate America because it fell in so well with the individualistic, like take it and go like idea of the United States. And so what do we do with the fact that this co-option always does happen? Should we look out for artistic movements that are able to be co-opted? Should we fight against the idea of things ever being co-opted, or should we try to set up a way to accept that and then move on?
Yeah. It's a big problem with big business and capitalist economy adopting artistic forms, whether it be music or art, whether it be the museumification of art, big record industries, selling hip-hop is another example. It's I think that it's a reflection of the inherent openness and ambivalence to openness to interpretation of art, which is something you can't, I mean, what do? Do we try to make political statements that much more overt in our work so as not to be able to be co-opted? That takes out the freedom of the interpreter at the same time. So,
So there you go, folks. We've gone from art and anarchism to mainstream co-option and corporate capitalized globalization.